After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwan's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness. From ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit schwans.com.
A huge part of my purpose is I think of that kid that was in jail and encouraging him to show him, yes, you can do it. And I saw myself speaking, and the thing about your imagination is you'll start to see these little flashes of things, but when I was in school and I thought I was stupid, I would get in trouble for using my imagination. And so they started having these meetings. And they'd sit down with my parents and they would say, something's wrong with your son. He like when we're talking about the parts of the microscope, which they still teach that, by the way, memorizing the parts of the microscope. Anyway, he's daydreaming for some reason. He's drawing pictures. Something's wrong with your kid. He's using his imagination. He's going to be in sixth grade next year. He's too old to be using his imagination. So not only did I start thinking that there was something wrong with me, I started having this false belief that using my imagination was a thing for children. And that as adults, we're supposed to outgrow that. And so I told all of you, by reading that Stephen King book, that started opening up my imagination again. And later on, when I started getting up at 4:50 in the morning, the first thing in my book you'll see on the front, I drew a little stick figure drawing. I just randomly drew a stick figure. I don't say that I'm Picasso, but I can draw one heck of a stick figure drawing. And I drew a little guy called Solid Dude, and there was a mountain in the middle. And on the mountain, it said, like, adversity, hard times. On the left side, there was a guy called Mr. Mediocrity Face. And on the right side of the mountain, you see Mr. Solid Dude. And he's standing on greener grass. And Mr. Solid Dude says, I'll be damned, the grass is greener on the other side. And I was like, this is pretty cool. This is fun. That started opening up this thing that I forgot, even from reading Stephen King and all that. It started coming out more, that imagination part of me, that like childlike wonder that led to me then writing the book, The Story of You. And I remember when I told my publisher, I sent in the original stick figure drawing. It has smears on. I said, don't go in there and do your computer guru stuff and fancy it up. Put it in there just how it is. Because that's exactly how I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be a stick figure. It was using my imagination. And in a way, that's sometimes almost starting to go outside of your cage again, just to start believing in your imagination again. Because for me as that kid, I was told, how many of us have been told that or think that that's for children? And deep down, your imagination's in you and it's screaming out like, don't give up on me. Your imagination is your superpower. But then there's a B side of that. Your imagination can also be your kryptonite. And you see, imagination is such a powerful thing. On the flip side of that, there's a great quote I've heard that said, worry is a misuse of your imagination. Any of us ever misuse our imagination worrying? Yeah. Like a lot? Like hearing that voice, you can't do this. You're not good enough for that. And then you're up all night. And then you're starting to imagine the worst case scenario. And then the next thing you know, you've talked yourself out of doing whatever it is that your dream is. Even in my life, even in my marriage, I remember there was a time when my wife and I were separated. Way earlier, it was about 10 years ago. We were living separately, and I thought it was over. And I had finally accepted that. We had been through hell, and I was finally like, okay, I'm accepting it's over. And then all of a sudden she shows up and she had gone to our church and talked to the counselor there and said, let's try just one more time going to counseling. And I remember Sometimes it's scary just to have hope again. And my imagination started going off thinking, what if you get back together and all this horrible stuff starts happening and you get your heart broken again? And so before I even started to rebuild it again, I was already imagining in my head the worst case scenario, and I was wanting to give up before I even started. And how many of us do that with our purpose? We give up because, let's be honest, a lot of the times it's so much easier not to have hope again. Because that means we don't have to fail. We don't have to step out there and risk failing. We don't have to step out there and risk having someone break our heart. But then we also miss, now you saw her today, 12 years later, our marriage is more powerful than ever. We made it work. It worked out. We have a foundation that's unbreakable now because we didn't give up. We stayed committed. And it was bigger than us. We had a why. We have our 5 children. What if I had let my imagination get the better of me? I would have given up before I ever even started. So I'm telling all of you here today that when you're continuing to go after whatever it is, because all of you that I've talked to, I've spoken at a lot of places, and I was just telling Bill earlier, you are all an amazing group. Like, there's so many different levels of intelligence here, and your hearts are all so pure and in the right spot. It's amazing. Some of the stuff everyone's been talking about, you all can be doing things that can be blowing me out of the water. I'm not joking with all of you. I love it. I love the variety. I love that there's younger people here wanting to learn. There's so much that you can do. But please, please, please don't use that B side of imagination that I'm talking about to allow you to start worrying. And it's going to happen. It happens to all of us. It's that voice Bill talks about all the time. When it does, just be aware of it and let it go. Like, one of the greatest things I learned about letting go, one of the best analogies is when that little voice comes, when that worry comes, rather than even arguing with it, like this morning before I'm talking, you're not good enough to talk. Even though I've been doing these for a long time, you can't do a keynote, Mark. Like, I like to be honest with everyone. I still go through it. Who are you to think anyone's going to care what you have to say? What if you screw up? And I used to sit there and argue with that voice and be like, I've done this and I'm getting better at it. I just imagine like a helium balloon, and I'm just like, cool, Johnny. It's filled with helium. I just let it go. The thought comes, what if you just, sweet, boom. You can't do your dream. You can't. I'm not even going to continue to give it airplay. Just keep letting it go like little balloons of helium. Don't even think why. Don't overthink it. Because overthinking is when you use your imagination that leads to paralyzation. And that's the worst place. That leads to the land of dwelling, which brings you back to the land of mediocrity. And I've been there so many times. I'm up here talking as someone. I'm not up here saying that I haven't been through all that. I love talking about fear and doubt and going after your dreams because I've battled it my whole life. And I'm so happy to be honest with it to let all of you know that if I can do this absolutely 120%, I don't know if that's a mathematical term or not, Cindy, but 100%, all of you can do this. And what I want to end tonight with, Super Millennial left one slide out, but that's all right. No compromises, only improvises. That's another one we'll add on there. There's two things when we're getting to this. And there's one more that has to do here with the imagination part of it. And when I was in jail, there's a part that I didn't tell you. I was living with 2 roommates at that time that they weren't able to use their imagination to see beyond the circumstances, to see beyond that cage that they were in. And when I started telling them, when you're starting to share some of your dreams with other people that don't understand them, I remember telling them, my jaw wired shut, my eye fractured, and I'm sipping a 40-ounce through a straw with him, like no joke. And telling them, I'm thinking it was a malt liquor 40. I'll never forget that. I remember thinking, like, I hope this is my rock bottom. I thought jail was, but oh my gosh. But I was scared too, because I was thinking, I'm not changing, I'm going to end up dead. Like, I didn't remember how I got there, and I would love to say that I just changed overnight, but I started going back to that cage. And I remember telling them as I started reading more and more, and I started thinking, maybe I can go to college. And I shared that with them. And they were like, Mark, that's awesome. We're so happy for you. You got to get out of here. We're happy to... No, they weren't. Hell no. They were like, you sell out. You know what they said? They said, you think you can go to college? You think people like us? Watch out for the people that try to put you in a us. That's putting you in their cage, right? You think people like us can go to college? People like us don't go to college. You're not smart enough like those kids. And then they said, do you think you're better than us? And you know what? I went through a lot with them. Like, we did a lot of bad things, but they did have my back in a lot of bad times. We were in a lot of bad situations. There was a time where someone was even going to jump me, and a guy came to hit me with a baseball bat. And my roommate, I don't want to get too much into the details, but he had to hit a guy with a rock, save my life. But I was putting myself in these stupid situations. So then then I'm feeling guilty. Am I being a sellout? Because, like, am I doing them wrong by going to college? Am I abandoning them? Both those roommates are dead now. Both of them, two young guys in their 30s. I haven't talked to them for years, but I remember doing research as I went to write my book. I knew these guys well. And the first one, it was just a couple of years ago. He was doing a bunch of cocaine one night, took a pistol out, and just shot himself. The other one, man, he was my boy. He was a good guy, too. He had so much potential. He was a good-looking kid in high school, played sports, had two beautiful little girls. He overdosed on a bottle of whiskey and a bunch of Vicodin just about 4 years ago. I was number three. 100% of the people I was living with in that cage, in that trailer at that time, are dead now. I would have been number three. That's why it's so important. It's so important that you continue not to allow anyone else ever, ever, not even me, don't let anyone ever dictate that beautiful dream, that amazing purpose that's in your heart, because it's yours and you're responsible for sharing it with the world. Because you never know the ripple effect that it's going to have of the lives that will be changed by you doing your dream. It's that important. You don't get to give up. And there's a hero of mine that I love. His name is Nelson Mandela. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him. Has everyone here heard of Nelson Mandela? So I can just do a quick little recap. At the time in South Africa, before he was falsely in prison, they were separating the blacks and the whites in his own country. If, like my wife and I, if we were married there, they would come, they'd rip our family apart, pull the kids away, take her away. A white guy couldn't be married to a black girl. The white people were better than the black people, apparently, in their own country of South Africa. So Nelson Mandela was fighting against that and saying, obviously, this isn't right. And he's someone that lived out all four of these things that I'm talking about. He was falsely imprisoned, not just for 5 years, because when we're talking about the time part, imagine having 10 years of your life taken away in a prison. He was there for 27 years. He took the words out of my mouth. 27 years, though. But listen to this. The place he went to was called the island. And when he got there, it was one of the worst prisons in the world at the time. When he got to the island, the first thing he heard from the warden was, "Welcome to the island. You will die here." 27 years he spent there on that island. Now, when you talk about having passion, his why, he continued to stay passionate that he would believe not only, let's be honest, just to say I'm going to prove that warden wrong and live out my 27 years and make it out alive would be amazing, right? I would say that's incredible. He continued to believe, not only am I going to make it out, I'm going to become the president. I'm going to get out and I'm going to become the president of the entire country during all this division. And then also he believed that when I get out and become president, I'm not going to create a civil war. And that's what everyone wants me to do. I had every right to. But love conquers all things. He said, I'm going to bring the country together. I'm going to unite the people. And that's exactly what he did. He made it out of there after 27 years, united the entire country, which is now known as the Rainbow Nation. And I'm ending tonight with something that kept him going, a big part of his why, what became one of my favorite poems, is because Nelson Mandela said this is what kept him going for those 27 years he was in prison. You see, your why can be whatever it is to you. This poem became his why. It's Invictus by William Ernst Henley. And it's, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Underneath the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloodied, yet unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Thank you very much, everyone.
After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is what's for dinner. That's where Schwan's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit schwans.com. This is Julie.
Hey, calendar, what's my morning like?
Julie's about to have a long day.
At 9 a.m., soccer carpool. 9:10, purchase birthday card. 9:05, dry cleaning.
Did you just go backwards?
I'm sorry, I can't fit that question into your schedule. 9:15, cry for a little bit.
For days that won't end, let Schwan's help. With Schwan's, you can get delicious meals that go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. Visit today at schwans.com.